Well, welcome this morning. It was, it has been a great experience this last weekend. As many of you that are part of the community for at least a few years, you know that every year in the summertime, the YFM community goes out to Somerset Beach Campground and enjoys themselves over a weekend of just some great fellowship, opportunities to meld our hearts and experience one another in a way that we don't get to experience one another in other ways, especially the little kids. We love to see them coated with dirt head to toe. I mean, that's a beautiful thing when they start digging and then they start just wearing the dirt. Moms and dads just love that, and especially those of us who are moms and dads from a distance. We love that. It's just like, that is hilarious. That is awesome. So we just love that. But the other thing that's probably as wonderful is really gathering. And in case you didn't know, gathering is actually a spiritual discipline. We don't naturally kind of desire to hang with people in a lot of different things, and to do that takes a fair amount of energy. In fact, some of you probably even found that out coming here this morning, right? You just kind of went, yeah, I don't know. Do I need to go today? Should I go today? Gathering takes energy, and it's a spiritual discipline. But in that gathering, we have wonderful opportunities. And this weekend, we did two, as we do almost every year, three baptisms this year. And just awesome. Sean Howard, he's here this morning. I don't know how they, when did you leave, by the way? Did you leave last night? Oh, okay. All right. Didn't know that. So Sean Howard and Katie Wu, which she's working at a Boy Scout camp and doing lifeguarding. It's just a wonderful testimonies out of them. And then Carolyn Jones, who was out there last night, and just a wonderful time of celebration, and to just see what God is doing and marking in lives. As somebody reminded me in prayer, he has clothed us and marked us in baptism. And by the way, that was part of our sermon series that we've been in, just talking about water. And just really trying to take these ordinary things of life, spurred on by a book called Liturgy of the Ordinary, and trying to see how God has just, you know, kind of kneaded in his presence into them. And today is no different. Today is no different. As we continue it, I'm just amazed as I read scripture how Yahweh continues to just kind of put his imprint on some of the very basic things of life. And bread is one of those very things that he has done. About 6 months ago, Kathy and I were, as many of you already know, we watch a lot of documentaries. They tend to lean themselves towards food. I don't know why, but they do. We were watching a documentary. Michael Pollan, I believe is his name, has written several books. He's a teacher at what school? I can't remember. We're not sure right now. But he's a professor at a school, but he also writes books, and a documentary came out around his book called Cooked, if you're interested in all. And that each segment is related to the elements, the earth elements and that type of thing. And one was on air, and air relating to bread. We'll get to that in a second. Well, a few years previous to this time, I had started to play with bread and making bread, and kind of literally had shelved some of my equipment, and I pulled it back out and began to play around, and it's just an amazing thing. This time, it's been a little more successful than last time. I don't know why, but it has been, I think. At least my family says so. But bread is this fundamental thing, right? So what is your favorite kind of bread? Go ahead, yell it out. What's your favorite kind of bread? Yeah, that's great, isn't it? I mean, it's awesome. It really is good. I mean, some of us like the more complex ingredients in our bread. You know, we go to a Great Harvest, and we want the complexity of all the nuts and fruit and all that kind of stuff. Some of us just like it more simple in regard. But really, to get bread, and this is something I learned from the documentary, but it's You can figure this one out. It took me a documentary. Flour, salt, and water. Flour, salt, and water, and you have something that actually, some of you, before I dive into this, and some of you have celiacs, may deal with celiacs or gluten-free allergy issue. I get all of that. I understand it, and I'm sorry. I really am. There are many reasons for it, but probably the base, and we can go back to Adam and Eve, say thank you for that, because we're broken people in that process. But the crazy thing is that bread is this source of sustenance that individually taken, now water, obviously, but individually taken, you're not just going to go and ingest flour. I mean, it's just not something we do. Spoonfuls of flour, not a wise idea, I don't think. But putting them all together, it actually gives us something in which we can build a meal around. It is not a meal in and of itself. I wouldn't advocate that. But it is a meal that you can build around. And it's just simply a staple in our house. When I was growing up, my grandma died when she was fairly young, or what I would say she was fairly young. And so my grandpa would happen by our house to have meals. And my mom, I really am not a big sandwich eater, but my mom would have a loaf of bread. She would pull out Wonder Bread stuff, you know, and she'd put out and place it on the counter. And my grandfather, he would go through probably 3/4 of that bread in a meal. I'm just incredible amount of carbs there. But it was a part of it. And every culture that almost every culture that I've been introduced to, almost every culture, bread is a base. It's a basic. When I went to Mexico, I remember we went and got bread out of, you know, just an adobe type, like a cement or a type of wood-fired stove. And, man, it tasted like heaven. Right? I mean, it's just one of those things. And then, you know, we've gone to the Ethiopian restaurant here in Ann Arbor a few times, and while their bread is not probably my choice, it's their food is that has a base to it around a bread you use to eat the food. It is an amazing thing, and it's found in almost every culture. And so I think God is, you know, he's a genius. If you didn't know, he's a genius, and he built around all these things. Well, the process that you just saw in the video is the process similar to what I use, or very, very much like that. And the incredible thing is you take this water, flour, and your salt. Now, you need water and flour just to get the starter going. It takes about 6 days, but the incredible thing is what this water and flour does is starts to pull things out of the air. And it starts to create this thing that becomes living. And what I'm told, I'm not, chemistry and all that stuff was not for me. That's why I'm standing here, not there. but there's these things called lactobacilli. Somebody's going to correct me later, and that's awesome. But there are like 50 million of these when you do a sourdough-based starter, okay? And there are different levels of sourdough, I think, but 50 million of these that go into the complexion of a bread. Did you know that? I mean, when you eat it, I mean, now you do. And it's just an amazing. According to my notes here, 50 million yeast are in it, and then, 5 million lactobacilli in a spoonful or a teaspoonful of sourdough starter. Isn't that kind of complex? I mean, think about it. All you've done is you've taken water and flour, and you've said, put it in room temperature, and it just begins to come alive. It is kind of interesting to look into the top of the bread when it's going. How many of you do this? How many make your own bread? Oh, yeah, that's cool. So you open it up, and not only do you get this waft of fermentation, right, but you start to see these bubbles. Every once in a while, Kathy will, you know, she'll look in the bread, and man, that thing's like moving. It's alive. It's crazy. It just, for me, it's rather entrancing. So hopefully you'll indulge me in this message a little bit to see something so simple become something really fairly complex when you pull it apart, and how it is, it can be one of those building blocks to sustenance in our life. The interesting thing is that all littered through Scripture are these references to bread. All through Scripture. And so I simply just have some reminders for us that maybe we know or maybe we've forgotten or maybe that we need this morning as we move ourselves towards partaking at the Lord's table, the communion this morning. Bread reminds us of God's provision. It simply reminds us of God's provision. As the nation of Israel is being freed from Egypt, their hunger cries out, and God obliges. This is what it says in Exodus chapter 16, verses 15 and 16. When the Israelites saw it, they were looking at something they had never seen before. They said to each other, "What is it?" For they did not know what it is. And Moses said to them, "It is the bread the Lord has given to you to eat. This is what the Lord has commanded. Everyone is to gather as much as they need. Take an omer for each person you have in your tent." Bread reminds us of God's provision for us. He is always there, even when we think, whoa, where is it coming from? He's there. His timing, we may think, whoa, couldn't you be a little bit faster? Couldn't you be a little bit slower? But he provides and demonstrates to them an abundance. And we know other stories throughout Scripture where they attempt to take too much, and he says, take exactly what you need, which is really part of our storyline, right? God's provision is always there. And bread reminds us not only of that bread, when we look at it on a table and we see it standing there, sitting there, and depending on what kind you like and you smell the aroma of it, I want you to remember that bread is just a reminder of God's provision, not only of food, but of everything. Everything in life for you. He is our Jehovah Jireh, our provider. When we pray, "Give us this day our daily bread," we are reminded of that very fact that he does and will provide for us. Can I ask you this morning? What is it that you need for him to provide for you? What is it that's on your heart? What is it your desire? What is it that you need? It may not be bread this morning, literally, but the bread becomes the catapult to a deep anchoring of our faith. Bread reminds us of life. Bread reminds us of life. Then Jesus declared, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." Never. Even though the Israelites were on the go, he gave them provision for their life, their very life, and said, "Look, you don't even have to let it rise. It will provide for you." Thus we have unleavened bread, right? But bread is nourishment for our body in certain ways. But Jesus offers us the spiritual bread that feeds our spiritual lives. He's our nourishment. And when we come to the table and when we come to the word, which we'll get to, he offers us life in the midst of a world that is dying. In the midst of our own, wow, dying to self and our physical bodies. He is life for us. Bread reminds us of forgiveness. It reminds us of forgiveness. Give us, this is the Lord's prayer. Now look at how all of this is coupled together. Give us today our daily bread. We've already read that. And forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. Do you see how that's connected? There is a definite connection by Jesus, not only of a reminder of our food nourishment, but that the very fact, and maybe this is new to you this morning, the very fact that Bethlehem, did you guys know this? That Bethlehem, the word, that means house of bread, that out of Bethlehem comes the bread of life, comes the nourishment, and he becomes our forgiveness. Bread becomes our reminder, and they knew it. See, we don't get this. We don't get these nuances. We don't read Hebrew. We don't even read it in its Greek. We don't do the translation. But when they see the word Bethlehem, they don't see Bethlehem. They see that word. But they know its meaning. They know its structure. And when he says, give us today our daily bread, he's not only speaking of the nourishment we need for our bodies, the dual symbolism, but he's also speaking of the bread that I need, you. And then he leads into this, oh, forgive us our debts. Forgive us our sins. Forgive us our trespasses as you have been forgiven by the bread of life. Man. Now, that smacks you. I mean, if you had a hard loaf, a baguette, that would just hit you in the head. I mean, that is just so powerful, right? But as we learned last week in our message series, we need a regular rhythm. We need a daily rhythm, I will say, of this idea of confession and grace. We need to come to him because we are broken people who try our best but fall short. But in that, we have his grace and his love that embraces us. And forgiveness is life. It's life. Bread reminds us of God's word. Jesus answered the accuser in Matthew chapter 4. It is written, as he's out in the desert, he's been pushed out into the desert by the Spirit. We'll talk about that another time. And he responds by the temptation of food with this, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. Now the incredible thing is he doesn't make this up out of thin air. He reaches all the way back into their history, and we see that Deuteronomy 8:3 says what Jesus is saying to us. He humbled you, causing you to hunger and then feeding you with manna, which neither you nor your ancestors had known, to teach you that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. That this idea that life, that... that we have forgiveness is a gift from God himself. And it comes through the word of God, which we, maybe you don't know this, but we understand as a dualistic. It's not just the Bible, but is the living word of God, Jesus himself, who comes to us. It is incredible. So the Bible nourishes us, but it nourishes us only when we open and read it, only when we spend time in it. Bread is a reminder of Jesus himself, as we have been working our way there. Jesus said to them, "Very truly, I tell you, it is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven, for the bread of God is the bread that comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." And, "Sir," they said, "always give us this bread." And again, they're stymied. They're thinking literally. It says, then Jesus declared, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." Ultimately, what we understand is that bread can symbolize a lot of different things in Scripture. But ultimately, bread in Scripture points to Jesus himself. He is the bread we must all take in that to truly find the physical, spiritual, and eternal life that our hearts, our lives, our very beings desire. What are our next steps? What do we do with this? What do we do with the bread? I love what Ezekiel says. He says this, and he said to me, "Son of man, eat what is before you. Eat this scroll, then go and speak to the people of Israel." So I opened my mouth, and he gave me the scroll to eat. Then he said to me, "Son of man, eat this scroll I am giving you and fill your stomach with it." So I ate it, and it tasted as sweet as honey in my mouth. Now, careful with this verse. Careful with this verse. But it is very interesting that when we find ourselves at the Lord's table, we often are reminded of that Passover meal where Jesus is saying to them, "This is my body. Take and eat. This cup is the blood of the new covenant. Take and drink." And the idea is that we're to just consume Jesus in a way that is manifested. So the bread becomes ultimately the word, the Bible that we talk about. We call it the Word of God, and we call it the bread often. But we also know that the bread refers to, as Jesus referred to himself, "I am the bread from heaven." It's the flesh of the very Son of God who died on the cross for us, shed his blood for us once and for all. That bread, when we see it on our tables, when we gather together with other people and other friends, just as they maybe did in the first church, that it's almost a compulsion on our behalf. And it should be, as I believe, apostolic as followers of Jesus, to almost want to dive in and say, "Wow, can you believe the bread of life right before us? Reminder of Jesus himself, what he did for us." And while we're doing that, we're into the Word of God. So what do? We eat bread. That's what we do. We eat bread. We read the Word of God. We have to. That's part of our practice. That's part of a simple and ordinary life. We eat bread. And when we eat bread, we read the Word. We are in it, digesting it day in and day out with the help and counsel of the Holy Spirit guiding us into life, forgiveness, liberty, joy, even at times sorrow. But when we eat bread, we have the wonderful opportunity, as we will this morning, and as we have already been doing with eating the Word of God and reminding ourselves of what it means, we have the opportunity to remember what Jesus did for us once and for all, and remember that Jesus calls us to his table, as we were with the worship team a little bit earlier, because they will be playing as we're taking communion together. I just am reminded over and over again that as Jesus gave this last Passover feast to them, that he was with them, he said, I'm not going to eat this again. I'm not going to drink the fruit of the wine and fruit of the vine, and I'm not going to eat this bread again until you're with me in heaven. Yet I want you to do it. I want you to remember me on a regular basis. And I'm, again, simply reminded that every time, if I allow myself and train my thoughts and my hearts, every time I see bread, and there may be very different forms, I'm reminded of Jesus. I'm reminded of forgiveness. I'm reminded of the Word. I'm reminded of life that he has promised to me, that he's promised to you, that he's promised to the very world, that Jesus himself said, you know, God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. So this morning, we're going to prepare our hearts to take communion, to remember what Jesus did for us, because he is the bread of life. This morning, maybe you came and you have yet to say yes to Jesus. You do not know him as the bread of life. You do not know him in the form of Lord and Savior. This morning, you can. This is the prayer you can pray this morning. Well, it's simply put on the page or on the screen it sincerely needs to be said from the heart. So as we pray to prepare, would you join me? Father, we thank you. We thank you for the gift that you have given us in Jesus Christ, the bread of life. And as we come this morning, reminding ourselves what the different nuances of bread means throughout Scripture, we're reminded that your faithfulness and your provision to us. We're reminded of your forgiveness and life. We're reminded that you gave us bread as the Word and the Word flesh. So we're grateful this morning. Friend, if you're here this morning and you have yet to say yes to Jesus, we'd entreat you, we'd invite you to say yes to Jesus. You can say this prayer or another prayer that's on your heart, but I will pray this prayer aloud. You can join me, and I would invite you to join me with that. Heavenly Father, thank you for your mercy, grace, and love found in and through Jesus. Save me and forgive me from my sins. I give you my life and choose to follow, love, and live for you. In Jesus' name. Again, Jesus, we thank you for the opportunity to come to your table this morning. As we prepare, Lord, would you speak into our hearts, into our lives. Remind us. Renew us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.